Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Friday, or I should say Fri-yay, right? Yes, you've made it. The end of the week is upon us, and the weekend is knocking on the door. We planned on sending you into your weekend with a bang, a fun hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. What are we chatting about, you ask? Well, I'll be glad to tell you. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about trade rumors swirling around the Detroit Tigers as the trade deadline looms on July 31st. Trust me, you don't want to miss that, Chad. And when it comes to those rumors, a few big names concerning the Detroit Tigers are included. Also, new timeout rules in the NBA. Adam Silver trying to speed things up when it comes to close games in the final minutes of NBA contests. I personally love these moves. We'll get to the specifics of that story. Also, our very own Scott Pohl brings to you a very cool feature centered on the Breslin Center practice floor that is currently being sold at an attractive price of $20. That's right. Very cool get for Spartan basketball fans out there. That promotion has been running since 7:30 a.m. today. Scott will bring that cool story to us. And right after that, of course, it is Friday. And you guys know that each and every Friday we air the Swap Meet with James Moore, founder of the Speaking with a Purpose Swap campaign. He always loves swapping out the negative energy with the positive energy and also educating our listenership here on the air. And today he will tackle recruiting in youth sports and what parents should know. That's really been like the underlying theme throughout the week here on our show. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about a racial component when it comes to the Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor fight. And we, of course, will reflect on the week that has been here on Current Sports and Beyond with a little segment we call Reflection Friday. All of that and more. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show as we customarily do. And you can even tweet us at the show's Twitter handle, at WKAR_sports, and at my Twitter handle of at Al Martin, WKAR. Multiple ways you can weigh in. Let's stop wasting time. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan college football team do not have a defensive tackle commit for its 2018 class just yet, but they are in the running for one of the class's top prospects, that being Michael Thompson, 6'3", 290-pound, four-star tackle from Parkway North High School in St. Louis. He announced via Twitter last night that he has narrowed down his choices, and his top five schools are Mizzou, Ohio State, Alabama, and Michigan. So those are the schools in the running for Michael Thompson. Thompson received an offer from Michigan in April of 2016 and visited Ann Arbor last fall. LSU is the other school. All right, keeping it moving. 9 games under .500 at the All-Star break. And the Detroit Tigers have started to shop around some of the bigger names on their roster. Names like Justin Verlander and, yes, even Michael Fulmer. Yes, Fulmer generated interest from the Chicago Cubs recently, but there was no headway made in a possible trade. That is according to multiple persons with knowledge of the situation, speaking under condition of anonymity. The Cubs, of course, went and traded for Jose Quintana of their Southside rival, the Chicago White Sox, which, yes, the White Sox even have a worse record than the Detroit Tigers. Mark Feinsand of MLB.com is reporting that the Tigers are not actively shopping Justin Verlander, but Feinsand did say in a tweet that, quote, the perception is Detroit could be talked into moving him by July 31st. After returning from the midseason break, the Lansing Lugnuts welcomed the Bellawhite Snappers to Cooley Law School Stadium for a 3-game set. Having already lost game one, the Luggies didn't find much luck in game two either, as they went on to lose by one run, 7-6 the final. Falling behind early 4-1 in the ball game, the Luggies rallied for five straight runs to take a 6-4 lead in the bottom of the seventh. The Snappers would then put on a rally of their own in the eighth and the ninth innings. In the ninth, they put the game away when Kyle Nowlan singled on a soft fly ball, scoring the game-winning run. Unable to do anything in the bottom half of the inning, Lansing would go on to drop its fourth straight. All right, the Detroit Pistons introduced Avery Bradley at a press conference yesterday at their practice facility in Auburn Hills. Bradley was an all-star defender in 2016, finishing sixth in voting for the DPOY Award, Defensive Player of the Year. He made no secret on Thursday about what he plans to bring to the Pistons, saying, quote, once I reached this level, I understood defense wins games. Whenever you're able to give all your effort on the defensive end, it inspires people, end quote. I absolutely love that quote, love that mentality from Avery Bradley. The newest Piston stressed the word inspires, which is likely because that is what he hopes to do for his new Piston teammates who missed the playoffs last season, while Bradley's old Boston Celtics teammates reached the Eastern Conference Finals as the top seed in the East. Come next month, Andre Drummond will play a key part in bringing international exposure to the game of basketball. The Pistons center and 11 other notable players will participate in the league's second exhibition game in Africa, playing for Team World. The event will take place on August 5th in Johannesburg, South Africa. The NBA announced the rosters Thursday morning, and some of Drummond's teammates will include DeMarcus Cousins, Kristaps Porzingis, Dirk Nowitzki, and Kemba Walker. Nowitzki and Walker have been chosen as the team's captains. Very cool story there. As if winning the Calder Cup last month wasn't enough, the Grand Rapids Griffins went and messed around and scored a win for the best music video at the Golden Matrix Awards. Cool name. Last week out in Philly, the Griffins beat out organizations such as the St. Louis Blues and the Atlanta Hawks. The Griffins video, entitled I Want to Drive the Zamboni, is a stop-motion video created for the team's toy night on February 18, 2017. I watched it this morning, and it is absolutely golden. And get this, that video together compiled and required some impressive statistics. Those include 13,652 toy bricks used, including 137 minifigures, 3,916 photos taken, 24,000 plus individual movements, 225 man house, and 5 days of filming and 7 days of editing. Okay, who wrote that in my script? I'm about to jump through this glass. I said 225 man house. Somebody miswrote that. It's 225 man hours. Who wrote that? Did you write that, Jacob?
Please.
I don't even think your mic's is on. Your mic is on right now. Is your mic even on right now, Jacob? Can the people hear you? Because
can they hear me? Can you hear me now?
Okay, we can hear you now.
My mind is already on the weekend. I guess
I see that
because I had a few typos. I put Ohio State twice in the Michael
you
Thompson.
Did.
I'm
Jacob
sorry.
Jacob literally wrote 225 man house, and I sat here and read the whole thing. It's 225 man hours. Thank God it's Friday coming up. Oh, my goodness. All
You're
right.
telling me.
Okay, moving on after that blunder. It was a shock to many fans when Paul George joined forces with the OKC Thunder, but now a recent conversation between ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and the Thunder's Paul George has come to light. Get this. Wojnarowski casually dropped a bombshell of trade information that would have blown everyone's mind had the Warriors agreed to it. Here's the conversation bit from Wojo's podcast that dropped on Thursday. Quote, there were a lot of trade discussions. I think probably every team in the league checked in with Indiana about you in that window when you were available. Speaking to George, of course. One offer I was told was made that Indiana offered you to Golden State for Klay Thompson. Golden State said no, and talks didn't go anywhere. So how about that? Golden State and Indiana did talk about Paul George possibly becoming a Golden State Warrior. However, Golden State refused to part with one of the members of their core group in Klay Thompson that has helped them to win two titles in three seasons. Instead, the Pacers traded George to OKC for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis a week after the NBA draft. And how about the Wimbledon, ladies and gents?
There it is this time. The arms aloft in the celebration. It is Williams, Venus Williams, who is back in the Wimbledon final after so many years for Konta. It ends here.
How about that? Venus Williams and Garbine Muguruza booked their tickets for the 2017 Wimbledon women's singles final with a relative ease, I should say, on Thursday, beating Johanna Konta and Magdalena Rybarikova. I probably butchered both of those names.
Nailed it.
You think I nailed that?
I think you nailed it.
Thank you. Well, that's a tough name. All right. Also, seven-time Wimbledon champ Roger Federer will take on Tomas Berdych in what will be the Swiss's 12th semi at SW19 this afternoon. Federer, the 35-year-old third seed, goes into the match as the highest-seeded player left in the tournament. We saw big names fall like Andy Murray. Djokovic retired early. So Federer is certainly the favorite. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also go to Facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at WKAR_sports and at Al Martin WKAR. Let's start the show.
Star-studded event.
How do you deal with everyone who's looking at asking you for tickets right now? Because I know everyone and their mother.
I changed my number.
Did you?
I changed my number because I got tired of people calling me, asking me for tickets. Can I go to the press conference? Can I get tickets? So I changed my number.
What do you want to get with this check? As soon as you get this check, what's the first thing you want to treat yourself to? Have you thought about that?
I don't really need nothing.
Are you going to do the after party at the strip club, your new club?
The after party will be at Girl Collection.
Yes, the fight that everybody's talking about. A fight that I, along with many out there, believe is going to be a pretty boring one. But enjoy this. Enjoy the pre-fight hype when it comes to Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Conor McGregor. They, of course, continued this press conference tour out in BK, Brooklyn, New York, yesterday as Floyd Mayweather Jr. tossed $1 bills in Conor McGregor's face. McGregor waved Jay-Z's new CD. Shout out to Jay-Z. This is one of his instrumental tracks. Well, one of the tracks that is an instrumental version playing right now underneath me. But yeah, McGregor waved Jay-Z's new CD in Mayweather's direction and quoted a Biggie Smalls lyric as some sort of warning shot. This is interesting, though. I must say, looking at the pre-fight hype, that was Floyd Mayweather talking with TMZ Sports, addressing the glitz and glamour that will be this fight on August 26th, pay-per-view. The fight is going to cost $100. Now, what I didn't know was, much like Floyd Mayweather's fights have been in the past, you can also buy the fight for less than that. I believe for like 80 or 90 bucks. You can still order the fight for 80 or 90 bucks. You know, 20, 10 bucks less than 100. But you will not get a chance to see that fight in HD quality. It will be in standard definition. So if you're looking to save a few bucks on that fight, when it comes to myself, I'm not buying that fight. You know what I'm gonna do, Isaac? I am going to call the homies and be like, yo, who's showing the fight? Who wants to watch the fight? And we'll all probably chip in like, you know, like 15 bucks, and that'll add up to the $100 pay-per-view limit there. But I'm not I guess I am in a way buying the fight, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
I may be shysty and be like, yo, who's showing the fight? Are you showing it? Are you buying it? And just come over. You know what I mean?
I unabashedly am doing the same thing I did with McGregor and with Diaz the second time around.
Right.
I'm finding a website and I'm just doing what I can. I'm sorry, people. You can report me if you want. But no, I'm trying to find a website, no doubt.
We're about to have the boys in blue calling current sports in just a moment here. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting fight nonetheless, just based on all of the antics and all the hype surrounded around it. But yes, the press conference tour continues when it comes to Mayweather and McGregor. McGregor deviating from his funky fresh suits yesterday and actually rocking. He actually went shirtless and he bought a mink coat that he had over his shoulders, which was pretty funky fresh. And he had like, I don't even know how you can describe the pants, Isaac. They were pretty elaborate, to say the least. The dude's got style.
He does.
You gotta admit that.
He does.
Man.
And he's got all the swag to pull it off too, walking in with glasses, of course, too. That's his signature look. But boy, the mink coat, that was something to behold.
I tell you that. Folks, you can call in and be a part of today's show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to start by addressing the Detroit Tigers, as you just heard in our current sports quick hit headliners, as the trade deadline looms on July 31st. There are many rumors that have been surrounding the Detroit Tigers franchise and many speculation as to what they will do as that deadline comes closer and closer as the days tick away. Now, a person who spoke under condition of anonymity sounded off and said that Michael Fulmer generated interest from the Chicago Cubs, but that there was no progress made. That is news that has many mixed reactions from the Detroit Tigers fan base, because you look at it and you say, okay, this is Michael Fulmer. This is a dude who won the Roy Award last year, Rookie of the Year in 2016. Why trade Michael Fulmer? Why even put him on the market? Doesn't he sound like the perfect rebuild guy? He's only 24 years old. He made an all-star roster this past year. Well, I should say this season, excuse me. Doesn't he sound like the perfect player to build pieces around? So many mixed reactions there. No progress was made, as I stated, when it comes to that person who spoke about this possible trade under an anonymity again. The Cubs went on to strike a deal with the Chicago White Sox, a team that sits at 38-49 in the American League Central, one game worse than the Detroit Tigers, for left-handed starter Jose Quintana, starting pitcher, who is now signed through 2020. The White Sox, in return, get a significant prospect haul of Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, Matt Rose, and Bryante Flit. So you look at how things are playing out right now, and I basically think that the Detroit Tigers are basically saying here that nobody is safe, not even Michael Fulmer, who is the stud for this team right now. This team is in full rebuild mode. We really don't know how long it will take for the Tigers to get back as a contender, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, who knows. But as far as possible moves for the Detroit Tigers, you hear a name, when we've heard a name that has been spoken quite loudly in the last few weeks here, that concerning Justin Verlander. Now, I must say, though, that right now it seems as though the talks when it comes to Justin Verlander being shipped and being traded, it seems like those talks are dying down for two reasons. What team out there is going to be willing to take over his immense salary? And number two, he has underperformed this year. His numbers have not been great. Now, he will pitch tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays. If he has a great performance tonight, if he has a great showing this weekend, maybe, just maybe, a team out there will bite. But if I had to make a prediction right now, I don't think that Justin Verlander will be one of those names that are traded come the July 31st trade deadline. Another name that was picking up steam, but his name has now died down when it comes to the trade rumor mill, is Ian Kinsler. He is not getting much attention due to his position at second base. And also, I think that the Tigers, in the back of their minds, they look at Ian Kinsler as really the heart and soul of this team. You hear that a lot with Ian Kinsler. I saw an article today that talked about how he is the heart and soul of the locker room. I expect Ian Kinsler to stay. Now, J.D. Martinez, Alex Avila, Justin Wilson, those three names are getting a lot of attention. Those are the names that you will see shipped somewhere, I believe. Martinez, a big bet. He has an expiring contract. Avila is having a solid year. And Justin Wilson, left-handed relief pitcher. Those type of guys are always sexy, okay? They are always a valued commodity. It's being reported, actually, that he is getting serious interest from the LA Dodgers. That is at the top of the food chain when it comes to the rumor mill for the Detroit Tigers. So you look at how things are going for the Tigers right now. Right now in the American League Central, the Cleveland Indians sit atop that division at 47-40. The Minnesota Twins at 45-43 in second place. The Kansas City Royals at 44-43. Then you have the Tigers and the White Sox, who are the bottom feeders of the AL Central and among Major League Baseball. The Tigers at 39-48 in the Chicago White Sox, a game worse at 38-49. And, you know, what also amazes me, and Isaac, we've talked about this on the air, my man, is that you look at how things are panning out for the Detroit Tigers, and I believe that if the Tigers are going to get back to some form of relevance, if the Tigers are going to be a World Series contender like they were back in 2011, 2012, 2013, they need a better farm system. Mm-hmm. Because you look at all these moves that are going to be made here. And again, the names I bring up, JD Martinez, Alex Avila, Justin Wilson, maybe even a big name. And I think that the fact that Michael Fulmer's name was even involved in talks with the Chicago Cubs puts in perspective just how desperate this team is right now. Because the other side says, okay, yeah, he's a great young prospect. He's 24 years old, rookie of the year last season, made an all-star team. But if you're in rebuild mode, there's a lot possibly that you could get in shipping a guy like Michael Fulmer somewhere that could possibly keep you in contention. But you got to have a good farm system. If these big names are not going to be no longer be a part of this squad, that farm system has to produce. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on when it comes to the Tigers organization and the development of their incoming young talent, because now you have nothing to fall back on. You have to bank that there are going to be names on the trading block that can come in immediately and help your franchise, because if that does not happen, Isaac, this team is going to be bad for at least 3 years, in my opinion.
Well, and the other problem with signing all your big players, Miguel Cabrera, Ian Kinsler, through free agency, is that then they have these inflated, unmanageable, untradeable contracts that nobody wants to assume. If you get somebody from the farm system like Michael Fulmer, look what he could have gotten from the Cubs. They gave up so much for Jose Quintana. They will have given up more for a guy who's 4 years younger, like you said, in the All-Star game. An absolute stud like Michael Fulmer would have got interest anywhere. And I think that Michael Fulmer is worth keeping. The thing is, though, when you just have one of those guys, it's hard to throw them away. When you've got a team like the Cubs, when you've got a team like the Red Sox, and you're farm system is teeming with talent, then you can start dishing them out, getting stars in return, or trading one nice player for a couple really good prospects. Tigers have never been able to do that because they always over-depend on free agency. And then once they sign Miguel Cabrera to a contract where when he's 40 years old, he's still getting paid $30 million,
right,
that ain't going to work. Nobody wants that. The Tigers, it's poorly built. It's time to sell. Get what you can. Salvage any pieces that you can. But then rebuild, because the last place you want to be stuck, I always say this, is the purgatory of baseball, because you can't just rebuild through the draft. Nope. You can't rebuild through free agency. It's got to come from the farm system.
And speaking of Justin Verlander, he is owed $28 million per over the next 3 years. Who is going to take on that kind of a deal when the dude is underperforming like he has this year? I'm curious to see what JV goes out there and does tonight on the mound. Going to be very interesting. The rest of this month is going to be quite intriguing to see what the Detroit Tigers do. What do you think they should do? We want to pose that question to you all. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And I want to bring up this because I think this is a great move from the National Basketball Association. Starting in the 2017-18 year, the NBA will cut down on the total number of TOs, timeouts, a team can make from 18 to 14, cutting that number by four. That's right, 18 to 14. In the final 2 minutes of a game, a team will only be allowed to call a maximum of three timeout. So use them wisely. The NBA has already taken strides in cutting down the length of an average regular season game with recent changes. And this is the reason why I argue that if you want to attract the young generation, if you are the sport of baseball, you got to start finding out ways to adhere to the very short attention spans of today's millennials. Because, I mean, heck, I mean, I went to a Tigers game earlier this year, guys. Isaac and Jacob, you've been to a Tigers game this season as well. I go there, and I look around, and what do I see from a lot of the young cats like myself who are there watching the game on their smartphones?
Mm-hmm.
Tweeting, Snapchatting, Instagramming, singing songs that are being played throughout the PA. Which, you know, I have a pet peeve with that, Isaac. You know, I don't understand. I just have to get off my chest one more time. When can I see it all the time on my Instagram? My Instagram chat. Well, I don't even know. What do you call it? Insta chat? On my Insta chat.
I don't have Instagram. That's you. Yeah.
Yeah. On Insta chat and Snapchat. Instagram basically stole the format of Snapchat. But what I always see is people driving, millennials, driving in their cars while a song is being played and reciting every single lyric Like, they are the second coming of Michael Jackson or Beyonce or Keith Sweat. I'm sitting there saying, dude, are you driving right now? Pay attention to the road. That is a huge pet peeve of mine. I've been guilty of it because I've done it in the past. And I said, I look like an idiot. Like, one day, it just hit me. I posted a video. I'm looking at myself saying, wow, I really look stupid right now. I'm never doing this again. That could have caused an accident out there. But, you know, anyway, I had to.
No, I agree. There's no good way to do that. Yeah.
There's no good way to do that unless you're not driving a car. I do it when I'm not driving a car. But, you know, but the young generation of baseball fans, first off, there's not a lot of them. Nope. Second off, when they're at the game, they're glued to their smartphones. But you talk about a 3+ hour baseball game. The young generation is not sitting there. Millennials aren't sitting there inning by inning, hanging on every single pitch. That has to be cut down. The NBA has found a way to do that in recent years. Again, you look at the length of an average NBA game now, Isaac. The average length of a regular season game with recent changes, trimming the length of a game from 2 hours and 23 minutes down to 2 hours and 15 minutes. And now with these new rules, timeout rules, we could see games end equating that to like the length of a full feature film, 2 hours. I mean, that's great. That's fantastic. Great.
And the thing with NBA, too, is it always occurs to me that you have timeouts that are automatically cut before halftime and certain periods in the game if you don't use them. So it's almost a burn one or lose it. Of course you're going to burn one. You want to get your players the rest. That makes sense. Why wouldn't you as a coach? But for the viewer, when you see four timeouts on top of each other before halftime, before the six-minute mark in the fourth quarter, who wants to watch that? Who wants to watch the guys keep going into huddles and hear this stupid ESPN monologue from the coaches like, let's play hard defense, guys? No, that's not what anybody wants to see. The NBA, Adam Silver making some good moves here, and all the rules changes that he's proposed, really, I've been a fan of.
I love them. I love them because, you know, you talk about today's generation, today's millennials. How do we get them to stay in their seats and tune into a game? Adam Silver has figured out how to do that. And I always get into this debate back and forth with my former boss at Channel 6 News, Fred Heumann. Fred is a big baseball nut. And the argument that he always has when it comes to the appeal of baseball in regards to the NBA is those final minutes when it's a close game and you have timeout after timeout after timeout. Well, now, Uncle Freddie, that is going to be changed. So I just don't. Baseball has to. And what I think kills baseball is the traditionalist of the game. They're stuck in that old-timey thought process. You either adapt, you either change, or get left behind. And I think baseball has to do something to address that. And the NBA even went a bit further when it comes to this whole timeout spiel. All timeouts will now be 75 seconds long, as opposed to the former timeout rules that allowed for 100-second full timeouts and 20-second timeouts. Which, when it comes to 20-second timeouts, the NBA admits typically ran closer to a full minute. The league is also going to start cracking down on free throw shooters, taking a long walk away from the free throw line between attempts. This has always been a bit of a pet peeve for some like myself, seeing players slap hands, give high fives with teammates after every single free throw attempt. I don't need to give you a high five after you make a free throw. Those are free. You should make them anyway. Now, they will supposedly be restricted from taking so long in between those attempts, and halftime will be regulated to 15-minute breaks rather than having some halftimes go longer in some cities. The halftime clock will now begin promptly at the end of the second quarter. What are your thoughts on the changes that Adam Silver and the NBA are making when it comes to timeouts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Kirk on line one. I see you, my brother. Let's hit this first break. We'll take your call, and then we will have a feature from Scott Pohl and the swap meet with James Moore. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. In segment A, we talked about the Detroit Tigers' many trade rumors surrounding the Tigers. Michael Fulmer was reported to have been on the possible trading block, generating interest from the Chicago Cubs. That move did not, of course, take place as the Chicago White Sox picked up left-handed starter Jose Quintana. What do you think the Tigers are going to do? That's the question we pose in segment A. We also talked about the new timeout rules in the NBA. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. On line one, we have Kurt from Grand Ledge. What's up, Kurt?
Al, I had to call in when I'm listening to you rant about people singing to the lyrics on their phone and whatever.
While they're driving, yeah.
And I kept wondering, you know, were you going to yell at somebody to get off your lawn next?
Oh, yeah. I sound like an old man. You know, I'm 26 years old. I've got an old soul. But come on, that's common sense. You're driving a car, and you're staring at your phone singing a song. Come on, man. Stop it. That's so annoying to me. So annoying to me, Kurt.
I'm telling you, I'm waiting for you to yell at someone to get off your lawn.
I know.
It just sounded like an old man.
I do sound like an old. I'm an old soul. Shout out to Grandpa Martin. May he rest in peace, all right? What's on your mind, Kurt?
Well, I guess I'll chime in on the NBA timeout thing and say that I'm really happy to hear that they're only going to have a limited number during the last 3 minutes of a game, because then I won't have to see over and over and over again the rule that I think is stupid, and that is you take a timeout after a made basket and you get to move the ball up to half court.
Right, that is true. I know you've called in before about that rule. That really annoys you, I know. So, yeah, that will go out the window now. And you only have three under what is it, 2 minutes I stated? Two minutes. So there you go, Kirk. That may alleviate that problem for you.
See, that was my chance to sound like an old man.
There you go. There you go, Kirk. But, yeah, I think this is going to be great because, again, it will speed the game up, and that's been a main complaint from many basketball fans out there. All of the timeouts, all of the downtime. Let's get to it, and let's see who can win this basketball game at the end of the day.
The one thing I question about the timeouts, and I question about baseball in terms of speeding up the game, you know, the game used to be, for baseball, 2 hours and 30 minutes, 2 hours, 45 minutes, mm-hmm. before every game was televised on TV, and you had to make sure you got your commercial breaks in and things like that. To me, they could shorten the game of baseball one simple way, and that is if you're a relief pitcher that's been warming up out in the bullpen,
thank you.
When you
yep.
come in, mm-hmm. you don't get 10 more pitches to warm up off the mound. You get four, and we're good to go.
Why any? I don't understand why they have to come in after warming up all that time and get any one pitch, let alone as many as they get. I don't understand that. I mean, then you got to go to a commercial break. Then they come back, and then we can start and resume the game. I don't understand that at all, Kurt. I'm with you.
I think, you know, as someone who pitched a little bit in high school
right.
when I was a lot younger, you want to get the feel for the mound and stuff, but you should be able to do that in four pitches. The catcher who's catching you should be able to get the feel for your pitches and stuff. You should be able to do that in four pitches. You don't need 10.
No, you don't. I mean, basketball players, when they come off the bench, they don't get a chance to shoot some free throws or do some layups or something like that when they come into the game, you know? So I'm with you, Kirk, on that, though. Preach on, brother.
But the thing is they need all that time in between innings and half of innings for all their commercial breaks in order to pay for everything. And that's what my interest on how this thing with the NBA is going to work, because Lord knows the NBA players are getting paid unbelievable numbers. Mm-hmm. So if they're actually shortening the games, they're going to wind up reducing the number of commercials and commercial times. Is that going to affect their revenue stream?
Well, you know what I'd say, Kirk, is the NBA is starting to put these jersey ads mm-hmm. onto their uniforms. And that's something that soccer, of course, has done. They've only got one break throughout the entirety of the game. And a lot of soccer fans are willing to say, all right, it doesn't look great, but at the same time, we've got one long commercial break throughout the whole thing. If the NBA did that, I'd be the happiest man alive.
Yep. I think that's a good idea, actually. Kurt, we got to move along, but thanks a lot for your call, my man.
All Take care, old man Al.
You got it. I got my cane and oxygen tank on deck, brother. All right, let's keep it moving. Before we bring on James Moore and push along the swap meet with James Moore, I want to bring to you a very cool feature from our very own Scott Pohl. The MSU surplus story was the place to be for Spartan basketball fans today. Pieces of the practice court floor removed from the Breslin Center went up for sale this morning. The 4-foot squares, some with paint, some without, each weighed up to 100 pounds. The price was certainly attractive, though, just $20. Today's supply went quickly, but the surplus store says more will be available online starting next week. Our very own Scott Pohl talked with Spartan fan Dave Mickleham about his purchase. He rented a truck, got there early, and left with the maximum allotment of 10 sections of the MSU basketball practice floor.
Well, when we saw the post, we were pretty excited about it because I already do a lot of woodworking. I've made some of the furniture in our house, and I like it when it means something. Like in the past, I've gotten a bourbon barrel because my wife and I went on our first vacation to Kentucky. And MSU sports are a big part of our life. We have football season tickets, and we're both kind of MSU lifers. So the ability to have, rather than just working from normal Woodstock, have something that's, connected to our memories and everything is what really got us excited about it.
Do you have specific plans for the pieces you bought?
We do have some specific plans. The first thing is definitely whatever my wife wants me to make, because she was kind enough to get up with me this morning at 5:30 a.m. and wait in line and help me get the truck and everything. But after that, we want to make a sofa table to go behind the couch in our living room that can also serve as basically auxiliary seating and kind of loops back into MSU sports, so we can slide some bar stools under there when we have some people over for big games and everything. So that's the first one. Other than that, probably some tables. And then we'll also it'll be nice to have some on hand so we have some ideas for gifts. When the university surplus was selling benches from Munn Arena, we bought a chunk of that and made a little bench for my father-in-law as a Christmas gift. So it's nice to have those things around since our families and friends are also really connected to MSU. So I'm sure there'll be all kinds of future uses that we haven't even thought of yet.
Tell me about the experience of being in line at the MSU surplus store. What time did you get there? How long did you wait? Were you worried that maybe you wouldn't get any pieces from the practice floor?
Well, we showed up right at 6:30, which is when they opened their gates, and then to get into the parking lot. And at first, we saw a lot of cars, but we didn't see the line. So we're like, okay, we're really early. We're going to be first in line for when they open up at 7:30. And then we kind of saw, as we turned a corner, we saw, okay, there's kind of a lot of people in line, but we felt pretty good knowing the limits. So I think we were maybe 70th or so in line. So and then went through and kind of asked everybody how many pieces they were getting. So we knew pretty early on that we were going to get everything, that we wanted. So after that, we could kind of relax and then just saw the line growing and growing. We're like, man, I don't know if all these people are going to get it.
Do you know, did some people in line not get sections? Because I know they're sold out now.
There was a point where they went to the end of the line after they did the count and started telling people to go home, or I think come back on Tuesday. I think they mentioned that they were going to do some more sales or maybe do it online. So they did eventually stop people from getting in line. But I think they said they went through about 650 pieces today was the last I heard.
Well, it sounds like you've had a fun experience aside from your plans for these sections of the floor.
Yeah, part of it, it doesn't sound super exciting to get up early in the morning, but there is, some excitement about it, and it's not how I'd normally spend a Friday morning. So even though it's waiting in line, it was still a lot of fun. So yeah, absolutely.
Mission accomplished.
Definitely, mission accomplished.
Dave Mickleham got 10 pieces of the former MSU practice floor from the Breslin Center at the MSU surplus store today. Thanks.
Thank you.
For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl.
Yes, and much thanks to Scott Pohl, and name correction, as you just heard from Scott there, Dave Mickleham. I said Mickleham. Yes, the weekend is right around, folks.
It's Friday. It's all right.
It's almost there. It's almost there. 15 minutes. Here we go. All right. Is it our final break? When we come back, we'll have the swap meet with James Moore. Stay tuned. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just played a very cool feature from you all, for you all, from our very own Scott Pohl concerning the MSU surplus store selling pieces of the Breslin Center practice floor. Just $20. If you want to check it out, there's also pictures on WKAR.org that you can check out. And again, next week, the surplus store says that more pieces of the floor will be available online. All right, with just 15 minutes left, let's get to the swap meet with James Moore. The Speaking with a Purpose campaign founded by Moore is steadily getting more and more traction, a philanthropic endeavor that is aimed at swapping out the negative energy with positive energy. James, of course, is not only the founder of SWAP, but also a former MSU football great, member of the 1988 Michigan State Rose Bowl Championship team. It's time for James to tackle yet another subject. This week, he has a message for parents out there when it comes to the world of recruiting and their youth athlete.
Wow. Speaking with a purpose.
That's, you know, great stuff.
Swapping out that negative behavior for positive. Swapping out the negative thoughts, negative words for positive. Because the power of the tongue is so powerful. If we get to the adults to swap some things out, it'd be easier to help with these kids swapping things out. And it's not for me. The glory is going to go to God, and just to help inspire other people to make good choices.
Hey. Good afternoon, Greater Lansing, Spartan Nation. Al, I want to thank you and WKR for once again airing the swap meet. Today, I wanted to start off talking about recruiting. AAU basketball, football, the recruiting process. Parents, one thing you must do is be aware of the coaches that are coming and talking to your parent, your kids, and talking to you. Listen to them, talk to them, see their demeanor, see how they are speaking to you, see what the philosophy that they speak, and know your child too. Because there's certain areas that you may want your child to be in, certain areas that you may not want your child to be in. Because every area is different. Places are different. But you really have to do some investigation. You really have to do some investigation. Talk to people. Communicate. Talk to different faculty members. Talk to different counselors. Because is so important nowadays with what's going on with our kids and them making choices at what's got college, university, wherever they want to go to school at. And with that being said, Al, let's do some conversating about this.
You know, this has been the underlying theme of this week on Current Sports. We had Matt and James Brown on the show to talk about James trying to work his way into a Division I basketball recruiting role. As a player, as he went, of course, he was under-recruited when he went to Lansing Everett, then played JUCO ball out in California, where he currently is right now, and he's trying to make a Division I dream come true. And Matt really stressed the recruiting process and how certain kids who may be really good athletes go under-recruited. And, you know, we talked about the AAU system earlier this week as well when it comes to basketball. And you being a, you know, being the stud that you were in high school back in the 80s, you were recruited by many, including Michigan State, Nick Saban and company, right? I have to ask you, James, when you look at recruiting and how you were recruited back in the 80s and compared to now here in 2017, how has the recruiting process changed?
Well, it has totally changed dramatically, because back when I was being recruited, my recruiting process was letters. I received letters. Every day I was getting letters from different colleges. I had a box of letters, you know, the paper that you get your copy paper, that box with the top.
Right.
I had a box of that full of letters. That's how it was recruiting back in my day. Now, man, I wish I was playing now. I wish I was able to put a huddle tape together.
Yeah, they a recruiting use, tape, right?
A recruiting tape is called.
So you guys didn't have tapes back in the day?
Man, we had VHSs, bro.
VHS. So you had to mail those tapes out to schools. Yeah. Right.
We had, I mean, it was VHS, you know, the tapes, you know. And
now it's online now.
Now, yeah, you get to put your greatest clippings online.
Right.
Just you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I wish I had that. Look at me. I'm getting excited over here.
So it's easier to get your name out. But at the same time, when everybody's doing that,
everybody's
you have to stand out some way.
You have to stand out.
I think
out.
In many ways it may even be harder, James.
Well, let me say this, okay? Don't get me wrong. I got excited because I had the clippings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did my thing.
Right.
Okay? And it would have been great to see right now. I wish I could. Like I said, you see, I got excited. My palms were sweating. But for kids nowadays, it's, but with the millennial, the kids and the schools, they can monitor everything. It's like social media.
Mm-hmm.
But with this huddle, they put all their clippings on. A coach can communicate with them via huddle.
Right, online. Right.
Online. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is done online. So that starts the recruiting process.
So the internet has really opened up things.
That starts the process.
And when it comes to today's segment, I mean, you talked about, you know, addressing the parents,
mm-hmm.
and what they should know when it comes to the recruiting process. James, do you feel like there are some parents out there that are just too involved in their son or daughter's college decision athletically?
Yeah, that's a fine line there, okay, when you say too involved. One thing it is you really want to be involved so you know what your kid is getting involved in and what they're going to do and where they may be spending the next 4 years of their life.
Sure.
Okay? But on the other hand is you don't want to have a parent living his dream through their child. I shoulda, woulda, coulda, woulda, and damage that kid or destroy or take away from some opportunities from him for their being involved too much,
mm-hmm.
because that can run coaches away. That could run universities away. When if I'm recruiting you and I'm trying to recruit you and I'm spending time with you, plus I'm including the parents in here, but this parent is yip, all in my ear.
Lonzo Ball-ish.
Did I go there or did you go there?
I went there.
But you know what though, but that kid stood out in his own, his ability.
For sure.
And that's why
he's tearing it up right now in the summer league.
He really is.
Yeah.
But, that right there, I would not recruit that kid.
Just because of his parents alone?
Because of daddy.
Now, in that same respect, you know, you look at how recruiting is for young kids, and you see some parents who are trying to live vicariously through their son or daughter, depending on that sport. At the same time, I mean, shouldn't that coach or scout put that in perspective and say, okay, I'm recruiting the kid, I'm not recruiting the parent. However, it is hard to separate those two, right? Because the parent, I mean, and the kid, you know, I've seen situations where the kid doesn't want to rock the boat too much with their parents, so they kind of just say, yeah, that's my
flow.
Dad or mom. They just go with the flow, right?
The flow.
So, you know, it's certainly a fine line there. But what advice would you give for parents out there who are doing just that? Because you're an assistant coach with the DeWitt Panthers high school football team, and you probably experienced that a time or two in dealing with certain parents, right?
Well, what you got to do is you talk to the coach as a parent now, okay? You talk to the coach. You look at his character. You make sure that this guy is going to instill the right thing in your young men or young women, you know what I'm saying, that he's recruiting, the morals, the values.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all about sports. It's not all about sports.
Right.
It's building character. Like my coaches, like Nick Saban, George Perlis, these guys, it was sports, yes. But first of all, they wanted us to be good men, good productive men in society when we finished our 4 years at Michigan State. And that's what these parents need to look at. They need to make sure that the coaches that they're meeting with and talking to, that are talking to their kids, that they have this same goal in mind, because you're always one play away from ending your career. And you want to have this athlete in a position where he can be successful on or off the court. And that's what it's all about right there.
Great message. James Moore with another hot edition of the Swap Meet. James, stick around. We have Reflection Friday coming up. I'm sure you want to talk about something else in the sports world, maybe your favorite moment and story of the sporting world. But, James, how can I get in touch with you, my man?
Hey, SpartanJMoore@gmail.com or
at Facebook.com/CurrentSports. The Swap Meet with James Moore. James, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Reflection Friday, where we reflect on the week that was here on Current Sports. You know, we also kind of recount our favorite story or favorite moment of the sporting world here on the air and beyond. And I have to say, just a really riveting week overall, Isaac. I have to go with maybe, other than the swap meet with James Moore, of course, but maybe Matt and James Brown. It was really cool talking with James, an athlete who was not highly recruited, seeing his maturation and his grind to try and get a scholarship for a Division I school. Very cool having him in studio.
Oh, it was great. And this whole theme of AAU basketball, possibly tainting the game a little bit. Obviously, this is a dialogue you and I have had for a while, but it's great getting that personal connection with it, because obviously it does make a difference. There's so much, as Matt Brown said, it's riddled with nepotism. That's how it is right now. I want to give a shout out, though, to the Tour de France having a yellow jersey switch over. Man, I always say these guys are the biggest Ironmen in the world, no question about it.
A yellow jersey switch over, what's that mean?
So usually one person holds the yellow jersey for the majority. Now a new guy has it and took it away from a three-time winner.
Okay, very cool stuff. Did not know that. All right, well, we have 10 seconds left. I'll be sure to tweet James's favorite moment of the week. We'll see you next week, folks. Same time, same place on Monday. Take care and be easy, people.